the rest of the story. There was a time, you know, when Spain carried most of Europe on its shoulders. From the late 16th to the middle of the 18th century, each year Spain would dispatch fleets of ships to the New World. They'd trade for treasure in South America, gold, silver, emeralds. And this annual harvest kept Spain solvent, and the monetary systems of all European countries were supported 95% by the Spanish treasure fleets. So, it was vitally essential cargo, which came by mule train from Veracruz to be loaded aboard the Spanish galleons. They needed protection from marauding pirates and from any English or Dutch warships not yet aware that the War of Spanish Secession had ended. The protection was cannon. Some 200 cannon would protect each convoy. They were crude cannon by our standards, firing projectiles of lead or iron or chain or stone. The finest cannons were first made of bronze, but the bronze alloys, tin and copper, were costly. Iron cannon were more soft, less durable, until from the gold mines of Spanish America, they discovered in the waste of the mining process a nuisance element of gray dust, and experiments confirmed that that strange gray dust, alloyed with iron, would make cannon that were hard and sturdy and durable. Without cannon, the Spanish treasure fleets would have been helpless. They had enough problems with hurricanes, which hurled one of five of the galleons onto reef or rock somewhere between Havana and home. So here we have a flotilla of warships, each of which carries cannon on three decks and groceries and some treasure. They're escorting a merchant ship that's loaded with much treasure. Gun ports on the men of war were kept open so their cannon would appear intimidating so that they would be ready. Navigation was a hit-or-miss proposition those days. Out of sight of land, a Spanish pilot was never really sure where he was. So most preferred the relatively narrow passage between Florida and the Bahamas. Even with the most favorable winds and currents, they could average only 6 nautical miles an hour. Any lean, clean, lightweight pirate ship could outmaneuver the galleons, but could not outgun them. So for more than 100 years, it was iron cannon, which alloyed with gray dust waste material from Peruvian gold mines. It was those cannon which kept the galleons relatively safe and kept Europe solvent. Should you see any artwork which captured those armadas on canvas, you'll notice that the vessels traveled in line, thus to keep their cannon flanks clear. At best, it was a long and dangerous 2 months back to Spain. Very many of the galleons didn't make it. In fact, it's been estimated only 1 in 4 ever made it. Today's undersea salvors are reboarding what's left of those sunken ships, carefully locating, diagramming, photographing, cataloging all artifacts, then making those artifacts available to museums and sharing any treasure with our government. Most of the shipwrecks are located and identified by the cannon that went down with them. And it's this meticulous salvage and scientific scrutiny which has confirmed what I'm about to relate. You remember that gray dust which the gold miners of Peru considered a nuisance, a byproduct of their mining? The gray dust which melted and mixed with molten iron created a harder, stronger, more durable cannon? That gray dust would have justified all 3 trips by Columbus. What I'm saying is that in the Spanish treasure fleets, the cannon on deck may have been worth more than the gold in the hold, for those cannon were then alloyed, often with as much as 60% pure platinum. And now you know the rest of the story.